Do keep that open. So that wasn't a very good beginning to my sermon, was it? looking down and hello everyone, it's good to be here with you. Let me pray for us. Do keep that passage open in front of you. Father God, we come to your word. We come to this section of Colossians, and we pray that you would open our eyes, that we would see wonderful things in this your written word, and that through it we'd come to know your living word, Jesus Christ, more fully. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you like to grow as a Christian? Yes, correct. If you are a Christian, then I should imagine, hence your reply, that is a fairly easy question to answer. Yes. Unless there's anyone here who considers that they are already perfectly mature in Christ, they are the fullness of Christ's likeness. And if you are someone like that, then perhaps just talk to someone who knows you really well and ask them if they think the same. Then if we are sincere about our faith, we'd like to grow. We're in the middle of Lent. And Lent is a period, not just about giving up chocolate and other things, but part of the point of Lent is a time when we examine our spiritual lives. And we ask, how am I growing as a Christian? Have I grown as a Christian? And I guess for many of us, if we honestly answer that question, then there will be in our answer perhaps a degree of disappointment, of frustration, of regret. Not for every one of us, but I should imagine for many of us. We look back and we think we haven't made the spiritual progress that we would like to have over the last however long it is. Perhaps for many years we feel we've just plateaued. There was a period early on in our Christian lives when we grew rapidly, but since then it's kind of continued the same. Again, it's not going to be the case for everyone, but perhaps for many. And if someone, another Christian, came to you and they were convincing and compelling and they said, I would like to help you grow, I think I can help you make progress, I can show you a way to greater fullness in the Christian faith, then I would say, yes please, I would like that. We're looking at Colossians. Alex Muir preached just a couple of weeks ago on Colossians chapter 1, or a portion of Colossians chapter 1. And we're in chapter 2 tonight. The Colossians were relatively new Christians. They were a new church, new Christians. And recently, some travelling teachers had come into Colossae and they'd said to the church there exactly those kind of things that I've just described. They said, we'd like to help you grow. They said, you have made a good beginning in your Christian lives. You started well, but you need to take it up a level. In fact, you need to advance to the next level. And we can help you. We'd like to help you. You need to acquire some new experiences. And you need to submit to some new, or they're actually very old, rules. So that you can know greater fullness in your spiritual life. And surely you want that. And the Apostle Paul, who's writing to the Colossians, is writing partly to say, watch out. You are about to be spiritually kidnapped. That's what he says in verse 8, where we began. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than Christ. The Apostle Paul does not mince his words here. He says, watch out. You are about to be taken captive. This teaching that you're hearing is very attractive, but it's deceptive. It's hollow. You know the emperor's new clothes? Yep. Sounds great, but actually my children are listening to The Emperor's New Clothes at the moment. It's such a brilliant story. It sounds wonderful, the promise of these new clothes, but there's nothing to it. Except actually there is something to it, says Paul. This teaching will trap you. And here's the thing that he wants the Colossians to know, so that they will not fall for this deceptive teaching that has come amongst them. He wants them to know this. He wants them to know that all that we need is already ours. All that we need as Christians is already ours. That's what the Apostle Paul wants the Colossians to hear. That's what we need to hear tonight. As people who rightly want to grow as Christians, all that we need is already ours. The teachers were saying that the Colossians, they needed to acquire some new experiences. Experiences that they, the teachers, had, and they could be for the Colossians too. Verse 18, we hear a little bit about those experiences. He says, don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person goes into great detail about what they've seen, puffed up with idle notions. Apostle Paul is, again, doesn't mince his words, by their unspiritual mind. There are clearly some experiences that these teachers had been talking about and sound very attractive. The teachers were also saying that the Colossians needed to submit to some new rules, although actually they were very old rules. They were the Jewish laws. The men needed to be circumcised. That's why Paul talks here about circumcision quite a bit. Spiritual circumcision, not physical circumcision. But they were saying that the men need to be physically circumcised. Everyone needed to observe various religious rituals, eating and drinking, and important Jewish festivals. We see that in verse 16. Paul talks there about some of the things that were clearly being talked about. The Colossians, these teachers said, had made a good beginning in coming to Jesus and coming to faith in him. And now it was time to progress to the next level. Time for an upgrade, if you like. I don't know about you, but I'm always very aware of when I'm due for an upgrade on my phone. Take out a 24-month contract. There's always a contract item to take out. And 24 months is a long time. And you see a long way into the distance when 24 months down the line. And as that date, I've actually got one coming up quite soon, gets closer, your phone gets slower, your screen gets more and more cracked, and you can't wait for the upgrade that is to come. People upgrade their phones at the earliest opportunity. Why wouldn't you upgrade your faith? Not about swapping religion, that's not what these teachers were saying, but about moving on to a more satisfying experience, something bigger and better. And Paul, again, he says no. And verses 6 and 7, which we didn't read, because when I was preparing this earlier in the week, I hadn't quite clocked how crucial they are, but they are really the crucial verses in many ways for tonight. They're just before verse 8 where we read. Paul says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Those verses are the kind of central verses in the book of Colossians. Everything before it leads up to it, everything after it flows out from it. There is no upgrade, says Paul, for your faith. It's a bogus offer. Just as you became Christians, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue in that way because you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, and in him all that we need is already ours. And we see this in two ways that I want to bring out from, more than two ways, but two ways that I want to bring out from this passage. In the gospel, in the good news about Jesus that you came to believe, Paul says, we have been given fullness in Christ and freedom through Christ. Fullness and freedom. Firstly, fullness. We've been given fullness in Christ. The offer from the teachers was greater fullness. And Paul says, verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. We thought about that quite a bit 2 weeks ago when Alex was preaching. And verse 10, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. In Christ you have been brought to fullness. Just need to be too clear here. Paul is not anti-growth. Yep. not at all. Paul is passionate about growth. Growth as Christians. I was preaching this morning at St. Mary's Speen, and I was preaching on the prayer of Paul's from Philippians. A very good prayer for Lent, actually. It was a prayer for growth. That the Philippians might abound more and more, that they might be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Paul was passionate about growth. And we see in verses 6 and 7 that we read earlier, a whole lot of mixed metaphors for growth. As you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. There's a metaphor there of a tree. Which is rooted, and the Christian is to have their roots in Christ, so that we can grow and produce fruit. There's a metaphor too of a building that is built on a strong foundation and yet is being built, because as Christians we're work in progress. We're not complete yet. We're to grow into the building that we're meant to be, but we're not there yet. There's a metaphor, you might argue, of a kind of cup overflowing with thankfulness, a continued filling and abundance, always more. We are certainly to grow as Christians, that's obvious, but we are to grow in Christ. Not move on from him to a new thing. Because verse 10, Paul says, it's an incredible verse, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Just to think about this for a little bit, there's a different metaphor in verses 2 and 3 of, or verse 3 actually, of chapter 2. We didn't read it, but Paul talks about Christ, verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is treasure. And when we become Christians and we receive Christ Jesus as Lord, when we became Christians, we received the full treasure chest that is Christ. The whole box. We received him. We didn't just get a sort of couple of coins and then the promise of more treasure that can be found elsewhere. We got the box. Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, it will take us all our lives, if you like, to unpack the chest, to get out each item of treasure, to examine it, to work out what it is and how it works, to appreciate it, to apply it to every area of our lives, including some very hidden areas, some as we were hearing earlier, some painful areas that we cut shut off, perhaps, from others, from God, even from ourselves. We will spend our whole lives unpacking the chest. But the full chest is ours now. We have been given it. We will in some ways spend our lives, I think this is kind of common Christian experience, saying in one sense, please sir, can I have some more? Like Oliver. And that's because we are a work in progress. We're growing, we're not fully grown, and our experience in this life is one of frustration, and in some, to some degree, confusion. That will be the case this side of eternity. But we don't need to find more treasure from somewhere else. We need to more fully appreciate and appropriate the fullness that is now ours in Christ. Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. We've been given fullness in Christ, says Paul. Second point. In fact, if I could have done a 3-point sermon tonight, and if you were to do a 3-point sermon on this passage, I could have gone fullness in Christ, fellowship with Christ. There's a whole load of stuff in verses 11 through to 12 about fellowship with Christ. In him we were buried, and so on and so on and so on and so on. And some of that flows out of what I've already said, but just a 2-point sermon tonight. So fullness in Christ, and secondly, freedom through Christ. The teachers wanted the Colossians to take on some new laws. And Paul says, you are crazy. You've been set free. Remember the gospel. And in verses 13 to 15, he just outlines, I suppose, the gospel, the cross, all over again. When you were dead in your sins, he says, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Apart from the cross of Christ, says Paul, we were dead in our sins. And not only that, but there was, it's a complicated little phrase, there was a charge of legal indebtedness which was against us and which condemned us. And when Paul talks about that charge of legal indebtedness, he's talking about the Jewish law. Now, the law that was good, a perfect expression of God's will for his people, but offered no help in actually keeping it. In fact, all the law really did, all any law really does, is point out where you're disobeying it, where you're going wrong, where you're breaking it. All it can do is point the finger. And as such, it stood against us, condemning us. But on the cross, God took the law, the charge of legal indebtedness that stood against us, and he nailed it to the cross. So remember in the Gospels where there was a little bit above Jesus where they wrote why he was condemned, and you remember what it said? It said, the King of the Jews. To humanize, the reason that Jesus died is because he claimed to be the King of the Jews. And the authorities didn't like that, and they were determined to snuff him out, and they did just that. But from God's perspective, the reason that Jesus was there on the cross, the charge sheet against him, wasn't his claim to be the King of the Jews, but our written notice of legal indebtedness. On the cross, if you like, was a list of all that we had done wrong, nailed to the cross as a reason for why Christ died. It's just the simple gospel. Christ died for our sins. That's where we began our Christian lives. And because of that, we are free. Free from debt. Free from guilt. free from law. And Paul says, given this freedom that is ours in Christ, why would you return to a new slavery? Verse 16, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or regard to a religious festival. Verse 20, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why is there you still belong to the world? Do you submit to its rules? Why go back? To go back. Anything that sounds like an upgrade, says Paul, is really a downgrade. Anything that sounds like moving on is really only going backwards. All that we need as Christians is already ours. We've been given fullness in Christ. We've been given freedom through Christ. So, as we finish, a warning and a challenge. The warning. Don't be tempted to move away from Christ and his cross. We're very unlikely to be tempted to suddenly start obeying Jewish laws. No one's ever tried to persuade me to do that. That's what was going on in the Colossians. It's not going to be going on here in Newbury. But there will always be the temptation to move on, to grow up, and in growing up, grow away from Christ. There will be subtle, and it's clear from here, deceptive pressures in the world and even in the church. When you became a Christian, you probably prayed a very simple prayer. I don't know exactly what it would have been, but it would have been something along the lines of, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all that I've done wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross so that I might be forgiven and set free. I now accept your forgiveness. Please come into my life and be with me forever. You would have prayed a prayer, something like that, if you're a Christian. You may have had slightly different words, but they would have had those content. The key to growth as a Christian is to continue in that prayer. And that's not simplistic. The gospel is not simplistic. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But it is simple. Don't move on. That's the warning. The challenge is to fully appreciate and appropriate the fullness and the freedom that is ours in Christ. He is what we need. Tom Wright, some of you will know the writings of Tom Wright, he writes on this passage, he says this, at every stage of Christian experience, what you most deeply need is not something other than King Jesus himself. You always need more of him. He is what it's all about. In him are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Don't look for new treasure. Unpack what you've been given already in him. All that we need is already ours. Unpack it so that you might experience fullness and freedom that is ours in Christ. Let me pray. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Our Father God, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you for his cross. And we thank you for the gospel which we have come to believe. And we pray that we would grow in him. And we pray that we would continue in him, that we might experience all the fullness and freedom that is ours in King Jesus. Amen.